Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Joining us at this time is director Itonia Seimerku-Thormsen. All the way from Norway, her film Grit is screening as part of the International Film Festival Rotterdam. Itonia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Matt. I'm glad to be here.
I'm happy that you're here. Your film was amazing, and I'm really happy to get a chance to talk about it. But, you know, just maybe to start off so that our listeners are not left out of our conversation, would you maybe say a few words to be able to say a few words to sort of introduce the story of Grit?
Yes. Well, Grit is about a woman in her late 30s who has been she's very driven by ideas and ideals, and she wants to live a life where she's in the service of art. She wants to change the world through art. And she has been abroad her whole adult life and living from hand to mouth, all the way from Hollywood to Aalborg, a small place in Denmark, experimental theater groups, etc. And now she's back in Oslo, and she wants to make this huge collective radical ritual performance that she wants to help the population of Oslo over in our a new era, basically. So that's the starting point of the film.
Even just thinking back to the film, it's difficult to know exactly where I want to start off because there's so much that I'd like to ask you. But I'm curious about this concept of the white inflammation that looms over the film throughout its duration, but also both as an integral part of the narrative, but also I felt the general vibes of the trials and tribulations of the character of Grit as we see it. But where does it originate? And, you know, what is this concept, the white inflammation?
Yeah, that's the name of her art project, which she's trying to fund and have people join. And it comes from, because she's been like very into, yeah, in different underground like movements. And so she knows quite a few, of course, she has some ideals. And Antonin Artaud is one of those, the theater, radical theater creator. And he talks about in his book Le Théâtre et son double, he talks about this white plague or the color of white, which is kind of a poison that in Asia they see whiteness as this poison in a way. And she has probably read that somewhere early on, but still she has this vision about that the Scandinavian spirit, the capitalistic society, like it's all this white inflammation. And especially because she's Norwegian and born here, etc. But she's kind of an alien and kind of a refugee herself. She doesn't have a place to live and she's not really integrated. So I feel that she's kind of experiencing this downside of the Scandinavian society because she doesn't, the safety system is too rigid for her, and then she doesn't have this other like good economy, or so she's quite homeless in every sense. So this becomes a kind of an image of this this society where you're not able to enter in a way.
Do you think that being an artist generally entails living outside of what is usually seen as the social norm? Perhaps not in exactly in the way that Grit does in this film, but to some degree.
To some degree and to some, I guess. But in Norway, we have this very like well-developed support system for the arts. And we're so lucky compared to many others. But then again, we are not trained to go. It's like that's the only way. So that it's very hard if you're not measuring into those criteria, because that, of course, is very hierarchical. And you have to have these and this education, or you know, it's all judged by a jury, and everyone knows each other. So if you're coming from abroad with a bit of a suspicious background, and you haven't been to these and these schools, or which is the case of Grit, then you are easily creating some kind of suspiciousness on people around you. And but it's strange though, because the way that Grit moves and the experiences she has are quite valuable, because she's getting into all these kinds of situation and encounter all kind of people, which does make fuel for art or material for art. And her whole experience as a person and as a human being is quite on the edge of existence. So she has some quite interesting and passionate and necessary like messages to come across, if you know what I mean. So yeah, it's a good fuel for an artist, I think, but it's also totally on the verge of what is possible to live and to make something happen, at least in Norway.
Yeah. Are there any autobiographical elements to be read in the movie? Because you, of course, also wrote the screenplay for the film.
Yes, it's. I'm very playful about the way I make films, but of course, before being able to get this, I was struggling for I think 11 years to fund this film and make it happen, and had my very strange way to be able to do my first feature, where I did get a lot of experiences, and of course, being very poor at times, and I think it's, you know, this. If you have a feeling, if you're driven by a goal and a want and a vision and something you want to materialize and make and have this strong, like need to express, I think it's, when you're not expressing, when you're far from that, you're basically going around in shame. And this is a kind of a very strange feeling, because others doesn't have to necessarily look at you that way. But for you, this, it's kind of a humiliation. Every day, not being able to do what you feel you should do. And this is a core feeling I definitely felt, which is maybe the seed for this character, this desperation almost.
Right, because there are grants and funds that you can apply for. But meanwhile, it takes a very long time for the process to undergo all of its different things. And, it takes a while for these things to be processed. And then meanwhile, life continues. So you have to be able to find money to kind of pay for rent and food and all of these different things. So, yeah. I mean, I guess I understand that there is a metaphorical dimension that speaks to a more universal truth. But ultimately, what fascinated me about Grit, and perhaps as a worker within the arts to some degree, is that it explores also mental health within the art world. I mean, would you agree that, I mean, I guess you said it there, but this was an important aspect of the film.
Yeah, I think so. And especially I think this, that when you have a vision and you have some ideals and something you believe would be like good to come out, because it's not about being famous. It's about having a mission, basically. And I think when you see reality away and you want to tell this and that, if no one around you recognize this, I think you can be quite lost. And if you, I mean, we have all these systems. We have a school system. We have a production film industry, art industry, and if you're not fit into, if you're not like easily to fit into these categories or into these systems, I mean, it could be school from child, primary school. If you're not fit into those systems, you can already become quite disillusioned. And also, if what you see and what you perceive as your reality is not, if anyone around you like sees that as irrelevant or not existing, it's, of course, the madness is a quite possible outcome, and or depression or destruction.
Yeah, a crisis.
Yeah. A crisis. Yeah.
It's interesting also to note how the film is split up into these chapters, each of which represents a type of rebirth, at least as far as the identity of the character of Grit is concerned. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. I see it as all crisis has a possibility of transformation. And I see Grit as a, not coming of age, but what you call it, dannelsesreise is a Norwegian word, like a journey of becoming, or a journey of integrating. And that to some, that she has to undergo these chapters or these, exactly, to contain and to become what she does in the end then.
And is there also an element of performance though in these changes, in this metamorphosis? It's almost like performing as a survival mechanism.
Yes, that's beautifully put. Yeah, absolutely. I think she kind of inhibits her own tools in the work that she has created for herself, her own tools of salvation. So the fact that she's so like active and creative and also sensitive, I think she is. She has a possibility to mix like the art and nature in a way, art and nature, and make a new.
So Birgitta Larsson actually is the actress who plays the role of Grit in the film. How do you work together to construct or to give birth to the character of Grit?
Yeah, it goes way back. We met when I was in film school. She played in a short film I had, and I just immediately was extremely fascinated by her. She too is like, she's not a very typical woman, like caring too much about, or at least not at that time, about, relationships. Or she's also very like active and curious, and we wanted to follow this woman type, which doesn't aim to reproduce or build nest or be a caring person, but more a searcher and a soldier in a way. So we did different experiments, and we made many projects together where this character always would appear, this quite determined and a bit like not so socially skilled always person, and Birgitta has a great sense of humor and is very she is a professional actor, so she has a huge experience because she's at the National Theatre, and she's also a writer. But she's also very playful. So in the film, we're always, there's a lot of people who play themselves who are real people. And she's great to work with in that sense, that I can just set up a situation and explain the people, of course, thoroughly what the situation is. And then she jumps to it as Grit. And then everything just, becomes real in a way.
Yeah.
Because she's so convincing. Yeah.
Hmm. I noticed as well, and this is actually pointed out in the blurb, let's say, about the movie on the festival's website, that the camera work becomes more and more restless as the film progresses. And then I also read that you have sort of developed a method of filmmaking that uses neurosis as a compass for a more explorative way of producing work. Is that right? And can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, I was, I began in the film industry when I was 19 and worked on like feature film productions, like very classical productions, and like made my own films and then went to film school. And then gradually or very soon, I felt that this is not gonna work for me, this way of be working so in a kind of a military or a mechanical way without chronology and shooting every day 17 hours. And so I felt that I kind of lost it in those huge productions, like my exam film at film school. I would like wake up and have like dreams about driving these bulldozers over like a field of like before you're born, you know what the fetus. So it would be very clear to me that this is not the way for me to work. I need to find a soft and different and much more intuitive and slow way of working, because I became all hyperactive and couldn't sleep in these conditions. So I started to work with performance artists and other artists and be a part of their projects and learn a lot from the art scene and theater scene where they work very differently from the film industry. And I picked up like stuff I wanted to conduct, like this slow and an explorative way of working. And I then used some years to implement that back into the film work. I wrote this master about this with this title, using my own neurosis as compass, at Akademin Valand in Gothenburg. So I felt very, it was very like thought through, but out of my own experience of not wanting to, not being able to work that way. And I really hope it can inspire others. I mean, there's a lot of people who does work differently with film, but I think, for example, if you want to be a mother or you have sleeping issues or whatever, for me, I need to be a lot alone. I can't be with people so much all the time. So I need to pull back and to integrate what we find on set. And so I need to have like, at the max 2 days after each other when I shoot, and then many days off. And ideally I would only shoot one day a week and then have a month every fourth week without. And this is of course an economical priority, because in the beginning when I wanted to work this way, everyone was like, yeah, but you can't work that way. That's not possible. It's going to be expensive. But on the other hand, it's you could just flip it and you can make those choices. Like, okay, then I use that camera that I have in hand, and I go down on my production team and I find people who can work this way and who wants to work this way. And that's been my experience, that my photographer and my like closest crew are people who love to work that way. And the others who came along were very inspired by the way of working. That was not, I mean, we are working hard, of course. And as a director, you're working all the time. So, but for me, that all the time is spent much better alone, like thinking, preparing, feeling and dreaming. Yeah.
And these are all important things to do when you're working within the art fields. I mean, you have to have that time.
Yeah.
And something actually that many artists are almost not allowed to do because of the intensity of the work and just different processes that are involved that somehow people don't think about when they think about the work that goes into art making. But speaking of that, you know, how have you been able to apply that process in recent times, especially in the past year in the time of the coronavirus?
Yeah, that's been, I mean, I was, thank God, finished shooting when Corona came, and I was at Fore, the Bergman estate, and I was just going to edit, like, isolated for a month. So for me, I had to go back to Norway, of course, but the work I do have been doing now anyway has been, like, solo work. So I have no, I really feel for all those people in production now, and for me, it's the biggest challenge is that I can't move outside Oslo, and I always go to like convents in Paris or no outside Paris, or I go away to be like solitary, and this is not possible. So
yeah,
it's a
yeah.
bummer.
Yeah.
But but also the I mean this situation might bring some new discoveries which we could be useful for the future anyhow. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a possibility. And that's what kind of we have to think to get ourselves through it as well.
Absolutely.
Well, Itania, thank you very much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Yeah.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.